Let's give it up one more time for the worship team, too. Woo. How they gonna mess me up like that when I gotta preach? Woo. So I always take this opportunity very seriously. Doesn't matter if I'm getting a chance to speak to one person or 100. You know, it's still all about Jesus. The song selection was so powerful. You know, that's my prayer. I want to continue to point you in the direction of God, just like Dion did. I want it to be a continuation of worship. I want to reveal his face. Lord God, give us ears to hear, just like we sang, Lord. Hide me behind the cross so that all they can see is you. Anoint my words. Let them come right from the throne room. I want to reveal your heart today, God, your love, and encourage your people. I want to wash them with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So I hope you guys are ready, because I always use a lot of scripture. I love using scripture to define and expand upon scripture. There's nothing more powerful than God's word. Not my understanding or my opinion, but the word of God. So good. We'll look at a familiar passage, story in Ezekiel 37. You know, almost everybody probably knows it about the dry bones. But I feel like there's some hidden nuggets in there, and I want to try to mine them out today. I want to give God an opportunity to reveal himself through it. So I'm gonna start with Ezekiel 37:1. The hand of the Lord was upon me. I can't even get past that part. It's so powerful. I've read this chapter a bunch, but that just jumped out at me. The hand of the Lord was upon him. Before he did anything else, before he showed him anything, before he prophesied, the hand of the Lord was on him. To me, that reveals closeness, intimacy. It's direction. It's protection. It's empowering. You know, me and Dana, my wife Dana, got an opportunity to minister last Thursday. It was an outdoor service in Elyria. You know, and we got the chance to pray with a lady. And as I was praying with her, I just felt her anointing. It was heavy. I was like, oh. You know, we finished praying, and I told her about it. And she's like, what's anointing? And I'm like, okay, well, she was a newer Christian. You know, so I'm like, all right, let me try to explain this. What is anointing? You know, it's the grace of God in your life. It's the Spirit living in you and operating through you. I told her, it's like God putting his arm around you. That's why it's heavy, because you could feel the weight of it, his presence. He's guiding you. Come on, let's go this way. Let's do this. Let's do that. But hey, let's use my strength, not yours. I'm like, man, that's so good. So listen what God reminds Moses in Numbers 11:23. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, has my arm lost its power? Now you will see whether or not the word comes true. In that's the NLT, but in the NIV it says, is the Lord's arm too short? I think we need both. You can have a strong arm, but if you can't reach me, it don't do me no good. Or you can have a long arm, and it's weak. It ain't going to help me or cover me or protect me. God is both. He's strong, all-powerful. But he's close, too. He can reach you. He's closer than a brother, it says. So let's start back in verse 1. See if I can get past that first part. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor in the valley of bones. They were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to the bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. That's so good. So foundational. We need that obedience because God is speaking. We need to speak for him. We need to reveal his spoken word, his rhema word. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. I feel like this could be many of us, or the church in general. We could fall into this. We gather together, that's awesome. I love it. That's foundational. You know, it says, don't forsake the gathering together of the assembly. We need each other. We need to be arm in arm, tendon against tendon, supporting each other, holding each other up. But that's just the first step. You know, we need that wind. You know, if we don't have the Spirit living in us, we can become dry, even dead. Without it, we're just dry and noisy. But we got to come together. Then he said to me, pick it up in verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath entered them. They came to life and stood up to their feet, a vast army. That's what I look around and see, a vast army. We're coming together, bone to bone, supporting each other. And I love this church because it operates in that wind of the Spirit. We take that extra time to give God reverence, to invite his presence, invite that Spirit in us and through us. I love that. So I prophesied as I was commanded. We need to walk in that authority and dominion. We need to pick up our voices. We need to pick up our heads and look to the creator and sustainer of the universe. What, Lord, do you want me to say? What do you have for me to give these people? Because words are powerful. Like it says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So if you don't like what you're eating, maybe we got to start changing what we're saying. We got to declare. We can't be afraid to prophesy what needs to be said. We can't be afraid to prophesy what we need to hear or what others need to hear. We have to prophesy that word of God. If you're not getting a fresh word, go back to his word. Speak those truths over your life. When the enemy comes with those false reports, those doctor reports, that strife, speak words of life over them. No, that's not true. That's not my portion. I have healing. I have wholeness. I'm the beloved of God. I'm not poor. I'm rich. I'm a king. I'm a queen. The righteousness of God. I don't have to stay in that generational curse. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. There is therefore no more condemnation in Christ. He put it aside. He nailed it to the cross. I don't have to feel guilt or shame. I can feel repentance. I can lay that stuff down at his feet and pick up righteousness and holiness. I could pick up Christ and put that on. I could put on his mind. I'm not depressed or anxious. I have the mind of Christ. He has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love and power, a sound mind. So we got to speak it out. Because God's word never returns void. It's going to accomplish what you set it out to accomplish. So speak it. Say it loud and say it proud. So verse 11. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones, are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open up your graves. I'm going to bring you up out from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open up your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you, and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, has spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord. One nation under one king. Ooh, I love that. One nation, not one nation under God, one nation under one king. Pastor Skip touched on this a little bit. The power of unity, the power of coming together. You know, we are stronger together. It says one will put 1,000 to flight, but two will put 10,000. There's multiplication in that. If we look at Acts 1, I don't have the actual scripture. It's just in Acts 1, the 120 Christ followers were together in an upper room. They were all together. They were in one accord. They were watching and waiting. Jesus told them, wait till the Holy Spirit comes that I sent you. And they heard a noise like a mighty rushing wind. Flames of fire came down and consumed them. That's the outpouring. They were together. That's awesome. That's great. But they needed that spirit. They needed that spirit to hit the streets, to speak in tongues, to make 3,000 people get saved. They needed that empowerment. You not only need unity, but you need power and purpose. Look what just two or three of us can do when we come together. Matthew 18, 8 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything they have asked for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For when two or three gather in my name, I am there. That's power. That's the power of unity. The power of unity, 12 disciples or 120 shook up the world. We have the power to change this world, but it comes in unity and it comes through the Spirit. All right, verse 15. The word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, take a stick and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Joseph and all the Israelites associated with him. Join them together in one stick so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, won't you tell us what you mean by this? Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I'm going to take the stick of Joseph, which is Ephraim, in Ephraim's hand, and the Israelites, tribes associated with him, and join him to Judah's stick. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from all around and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or divided into two kingdoms. Over and over again, the Bible stresses unity, unity, unity. Unity. It's so fundamental. You know, Paul says in Romans 12, 18, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another, with each other. See, that's not, I love Dr. Dave Martin. He was here last month, and he was talking about not giving your joy away. I can't control what happens to me, but I can control how I respond to it. You know, that's my choice. You know, I can't choose what the doctors say, what my wife says, my kids. I can't choose that. I can only choose my response. And I want to give them Jesus, not myself, not anger, not bitterness, not unforgiveness. Because there's freedom in that for me, but there's love in that for them. I reflect the Savior. And then in 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul tells us to be ministers of reconciliation. That goes one step further. I'm not just to control my response. I'm to go after them, just like Jesus did. Jesus, God always pursues us. He's reckless with that love. It's not conditional. You know, he's always standing there like the prodigal father with his arms open wide, telling us to come back. It's not about what you did. It's about what we're going to do. There's always acceptance and healing and wholeness in him. And in John 13:35, Jesus tells us that our love for one another will prove to the world that we are his disciples. It's different. Jesus is different. It's not the same. When you love like Jesus, it's different. People want to know why. How do you love like that? It's because of Jesus. You can point right to him. You know, Peter and Paul and all those guys, maybe not Paul, it was Peter and James, when they got taken into court, you know, the government knew that they weren't learned men, but they knew that they had been with Jesus. That's the difference. You don't need a degree. You need to get on your knees. That's why Jesus came to the earth, to reconcile us to God. He's always our example. He's always leading the way. That's why it says, follow me. All we got to do is get behind him and follow him. Do what he does. We don't have to carry the heavy load. He says, take my yoke upon you. My burdens are light. But we got to be going in the same direction. And too many times I'm looking down here like, oh my gosh, I got this and that and this person and this bill. And oh, instead of just, yes, Lord, use me. What are we doing today? What do you want to tell me, Holy Spirit? What? I'm available. I'm here. Use me. So there's like three different things in this chapter I think God's trying to show us. We have to be connected to each other. That's community. That's coming to church. That's going to life groups. That's getting to know each other, giving each other phone numbers, helping each other move, whatever it is. It's doing life together. That's the only way you earn the right to be intimate with somebody and close to them, where they can share in your burdens, where they can correct you if you need correcting, because you spent that time with them. You earn that credit. And then be connected to God through the Spirit. That's prayer, that's reading your word, that's worship, it's fellowship. Sometimes it's being quiet, being still, just coming before him. Too many times I'm so bad about just coming in and just giving him my laundry list and just praising him and worshiping him, but my mind and mouth is, Lord, you're so good, I love you, instead of just being still, just shut up. And wonder why I can't hear, why I can't get direction. When, you know, if I'm always the one talking, I'm never listening. And then being lovers of both God and man. That's pretty much what Jesus said. If you love me, obey my commands. What is his commands? To love God with all your strength, with all your heart, with all your might, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. It's summed up. Those are the two things you got to do. He always makes it simple, but not easy. Doesn't give you 100 steps. He just gives you 2 hard steps. Well, if you want to love God, you got to spend time with him. You got to be available. You got to read his word. You got to die. And if you want to love people, you got to love unconditionally, because they're always going to be people. You know, they're always going to fall short. They're not going to love you like the Lord. So it's going to be difficult. But in that difficulty, it makes you like Jesus. That's the joy set before Christ. He endured the cross. We're the cross. We're the shame. We're the guilt. We're the sin. He endured it. But he had joy on his mind, because he knew after that, it would be finished. There would be nothing separating us from them, from him and God. The veil would be torn in two from top to bottom. We can go boldly before the throne to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. We can have fellowship with the Father just like he has. We would be co-heirs and co-seated in heavenly places. We'd be given every spiritual gift. We'd have the fruit of the Spirit. We'd have joy and peace that's unmeasurable. That's the joy. This chapter starts off with God's hand on us. That's awesome. He's directing us. He's guiding us. He's got his hand around us. You know, but then it ends with us in God's hand. That unity, that reconciliation. You know, there's too much division and brokenness in this world, in families, in churches, between churches. How do you get healed? How do you get restored from that? You put yourself in God's hand. He takes the two and makes them one, just like he does in marriage. There's no longer two, but one. He went from guiding us, directing us, to taking the broken and crooked places of our life, making them straight, making them healed, making them whole if we put ourselves in his hands. But it's tough, because it's a choice. It's us choosing to let go and let God. It's us climbing into his hand, not being in control, not demanding our own ways, but being fully submitted, fully repented, trusting in him. God, I trust you. You're a good father. You give good gifts. You love perfectly. I can trust you. I can put myself in your hands. Kind of zippity-doo-dah through that a little bit. Yeah. Well, I mean, I got one more hand to talk about. One more hand. Talked about how God leads us and heals us. But there's one more hand, the most important hand of all. The hand that leads to salvation. The hands that we celebrated this past week, they're nail pierced, they're bloody, they're open wide for us. I can't ask you to be part of this vast army if you've never had a chance to enlist. His hands are beautiful. They have holes in them where there should be holes in our hands. They're hands of healing and forgiveness, hands of mercy and grace. They're hands that wrap around you when you make that confession of faith. They're hands of healing and wholeness, restoration. So let me ask you, have you ever put your life in those hands, those nail-pierced hands? And if you haven't, I invite you to do it today. I every time I get an opportunity to speak, I never take it for granted that everyone is born again. Everyone's put their faith in God for eternal life. But if you haven't, if you're watching online and you haven't, it's real simple. Jesus did all the work. He used his hands instead of ours. He laid down his life so we wouldn't have to. He bore our sin, our shame, our guilt so we wouldn't have to. All he says is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you'll be saved. It's a simple prayer. You say, Lord God, I repent. I don't want to live the way I've been living. I need you in my life. Come into my life. Have your way. And then you get your butt to church. You get your butt around people that love you, that want the best for you. They want you to grow. They want to make it easier for you. So I want a little time of prayer, because it's that second set of hands that most of us probably need, that healing, that restoration. So I want to invite the altar ministers to come up and be those loving hands of God, that they would place them on the people coming forward, that they would prophesy to them, they would speak life, that they would speak wholeness and joy, peace, whatever they need. Whatever you need, come forward. Before you go this way, that way, come this way. God wants to partner with you and do more through you. He wants you healed and whole, set free and delivered. He paid for it all on the cross. Don't settle for less. Don't settle for crumbs when God's calling you to the table. He's preparing a meal for you in the presence of your enemies. You're going to eat and be satisfied. You're going to hang out with the King. You're going to be loved like you've never been loved before. But it takes a step. It's a choice. It's a choice to come to the altar and lay it down and pick up Christ. It's a choice to lay down shame, guilt, bitterness, anxiety, depression. It takes courage, but it's worth it. God wants to give us so much more than we can ever hope, think, or imagine. But it takes a step. Every miracle Jesus did, he asked somebody to do something. If it was turning the water into wine, he told the servants, fill up the pots. If it was raising Lazarus from the grave, he said, roll away the stone. He would ask the blind beggar, what do you want? He asked the paralyzed man by the water. He said, do you really want to be made whole? He just didn't ask him if he wanted to be healed. He asked him if he wanted to be made whole. That's what God's asking you today. Do you really want to be made whole? Not just healed, not a band-aid. He wants to do surgery and remove that thing from you. But it takes a step in his direction. It takes pursuit. Just like with any loving relationship, it takes pursuit. Choose him. Choose life. Father God, have your way here. Let the words I've spoken and the worship we experience continue to heal us, continue to reveal your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace for us, God. Father, have your way. Continue to reveal yourself to us in dreams and visions. Wake us up in the middle of the night just to hang out. Give us a word. Give us a word that'll shake up the world, that will change us, that will renew us, that will make us more like your Son. Have your way here, God. Be glorified. Be revealed. Because you're worthy. You're more than enough, and we worship you. We worship you, King Jesus. You are the only one holy and righteous. Have your way. Have your way. Speak to your children's hearts. Touch them like never before. Fill them fresh with your spirit, God. We want to shake up this world. The enemy's been shaking it up long enough. We want to shake it up. We want to be reckless with that love. We want to shine bright for you. We want to be cities on a hill so that all can see your light, Lord, your love, your goodness. They can see the difference, the Jesus in us. Come, be bold and courageous. Come. Receive everything God wants to give you. He's got words for you. He's got healing for you. He's got hope for you. You're not hopeless. He's got more for you. He's a good father. He wants to give you good gifts. He wants to do like Pastor Skip said, open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you can't contain. It's going to overflow on the people around you. He wants you to be able to say, taste and see that the Lord is good. Look what he did for me. He'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a lover of persons. I love you, Lord. I love you. I want to love you more. I want to be used by you. So just come down. Let Jesus love on you a little bit. And if not, thank you for having me. Live right, love everybody, and pray hard.